Fresh Takes. Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash comes to Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up, here with Meme to talk Invincible. What have I done? I think it's pretty obvious what that title is.
Yes, oh yeah.
Definitely. It is, yeah. I mean, I knew it after, like, once I realized this episode was going to be the Invincible episode, I'm like, okay, that title makes perfect sense. What have I done? Meaning, what have my other 18 versions of me have done? And holy shit, Brandon, were you prepared?
I kind of had like an epiphany earlier in the day, yesterday, before I watched it, just that that was kind of how it was going to go down, that they weren't just coming there to try to like kill him, that they were just going to go around killing as many possible and destroying stuff and just leave that with him.
I did the same thing to Sapphire, my wife, and like, it was interesting because she was like, when you said that I wasn't ready for this and you said it was Invincible War, I thought it was going to be a bunch of Invincibles versus Mark.
Yep.
And I just looked at her and I smiled and like, no, it's global, baby. It's global.
It can't be everywhere. Yeah.
This is a global conflict, because holy shit. All right, let's talk about like what happened, and we'll lay it out, and then we'll get into the questions. Okay, Mark and Eve talk about meeting her parents. Mark kind of confronts her, saying like, why don't you want me to meet your parents? Because Eve canceled, and obvious, her parents are kind of shit. Her mom tries, her dad is an ass, to put it nicely. Yeah, just like, he's not a great dude, never been. It's not like he doesn't try. There's moments in the comics, but yeah, he's just not the greatest person. Angstrom Levy is back, and he attacks with a bunch of Invincible. We see what happens to him. I think that's the first thing that was shown. We see what happens to Angstrom Levy.
The flashback of what happens on that deserted planet that they find.
He's somehow still alive, even though his brain is smashed to bits, was able to talk with his open mouth and tongue.
Yeah, still hanging on somehow.
He's back. The attacks start out, Oliver runs out, Debbie tries to stop him. Oliver's like, no, I have to go, I have to help. Rex and Ray, who are basically official at this point, Rex is helping her move. It's very cute, very sweet. Rex goes, saves the day, and yeah, it doesn't end very sweet, because the Invincibles attack everywhere. The prison is fucking destroyed, ironically speaking. Who destroyed it? Invincible destroyed it.
Right.
Paid to protect it. It gets destroyed several times. Mark gets mistaken twice in this fight. First by the Invincible that caused the fight, which had two different costumes. And I like, when I watch this fight, I'm like, ooh. One's the comic book version of this costume, and one is the show version. Because the comic book version is a lot more, like, diluted. Like, it has, like, that more diluted colors. And I'm like, this show is a lot more crisp, a lot more bold in with the color. And I'm like, I recognize that. I'm like, okay, I see what they did here. Eve and Mark move on. They take team two Invincibles. Mark tries to tell her to get away. Eve gets her ankle essentially snapped and is taken out.
Just saves herself in the last second by putting down some sort of airbag, because the crater she leaves in the ground when she impacts is pretty.
And she was doing pretty good. Pretty good in the fight for fighting in, you know, Invincible. But
right.
And Mark did not follow Debbie's advice, like, you know, get out of here. She, you know, didn't have the trust, but at the same time, it's a pretty tough enemy. Cecil recruits Mark. Mark takes Eve to Cecil. Mark bows out for the moment to stay with Eve. And then we kind of get a bunch of screenshot of things that happen. And like, I'm going through this what happened very quick, but that is very much the episode.
How quick, yeah.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Guardians are taken out. Darkwing is presumed dead for taking Invincible into the Dark Realm. Shapesmith almost dies again. Teen Team is taken out. Rex sacrifices himself to take one out. Rest in peace, Rex Blood.
It's coming.
Yeah, I feel like I laid it. I was pretty heavy on the.
Yeah, I could tell.
We weren't ready for it.
Yeah, I could tell.
Pretty baller way to go out, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly how he died in the comic was, you know, the Invincible, this alternate version is talking shit, and he's just like, fuck you, dickhead, and blows up his skeleton. Like, very much to the point. He goes out like a hero. He saves three of his fellow heroes in the process. Yeah, he is a hero, and he died exactly how Rex Blood should die. Out with a bang and an insult. The Invincibles, after several, like, thousands upon millions dead, many, like, just cities are just devastated. They're leveled.
Yeah. I think LA, New York.
Chicago again.
Chicago, yep.
Like, Jesus fucking Christ, Chicago just had an immense, like, just damn. The entire world just essentially leveled to the fucking ground. The Invincibles, they eventually turn on Angstrom Levy. They all wanted different things. One wanted to save their mom. One wanted to see William again. One of them wanted to just kill everything. Eventually, they all turn on Angstrom Levy, and he essentially puts them away to die. Mark has a chance, or Mark gets aware of the location of Angstrom Levy. He goes to face him. They fight in a really cool showdown above Mark's house. Mark gets a chance. Like, this whole episode, we get to see Mark and, like, his game and how much he stepped up. We see how much stronger he is in a lot of these different Invincibles. We just see how strong Mark is. Yeah, the growth. And then, like, Angstrom Levy was just, that was, like, the scene. Because he more or less kind of got his butt kicked in the first fight. And Mark showed a lot more control. Mm. He didn't get sucked into any portals. He handled that fight very fucking well. And Angstrom Levy was impressed for the most part. Like, ooh, you learned some tricks. You're not the idiot that, like, when we first fought. Mark eventually overpowers him. Gets a chance to kill him. Oliver's encouraging him to kill him, to end this. Like, he did this destruction to get at you. And Mark hesitates because of how much he felt when he killed him the first time. Levy makes a move. He escapes, but he gets his arm torn off. He then gets to the surgeons. He demands them to save him, but they more or less are like, nah, you made some promises. You're going to fulfill those promises before we help you.
Mm-hmm. Turn him into a servant.
Yep.
Because you get to let people put things in your brain.
More or less. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the brain thing. That was like...
Yeah. Turn off his powers, it seemed like.
Cecil and the rest of, like, the heroes meet with Mark. Or Mark meets, and the rest of the heroes meets with Cecil. Cecil straight up asks him to be the leader of the Guardians of the Globe. He denies the job. Cecil.
Immortal quit. Did you say that?
It's on the list. But yes, Kate and Immortal quit to That's start why a I was family. Asking him to be the... Yes, yes. Yeah. And plus, a bunch of people are dead.
Yes, yeah.
Mark denies the job. Cecil and Mark have a moment, kind of a nice, like, understanding moment. Cecil's basically like, can't fault you for being a good person. If you need to talk about this shit, like, just let us know. And Mark was like, you're the last person I want to talk to, but thank you. It's like a nice moment, but like a moment of like, you know where we stand. During the cleanup, Mark and Oliver and Parapex fight. Oliver is trying to, you know, punch his way through it. Mark's like, no, hold him, take him down. Very pacified. Powerplex, as he's running out of power, he stands up. He's just yelling, and Invincible's to blame. He's the one who did this. Like, he's at fault. And people are starting to look at him like, Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm starting to turn on him a little bit.
Even Mark is like, I think this is my fault. Mm-hmm. Mark meets Eve's parents for the first time. Or Eve's mom and him have a moment. Dad just very asshole-ish. And then Conquest shows up.
Yep.
And Conquest is like, hey, I'm here. This planet is not prepared. Like, this is your last chance. And Mark's just like, all I want to do is hit you.
Yep.
And we get a very comic book ending. And Sapphire was very scared that this was like the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it did kind of feel like that. Yeah,
It did. It's like, no, it's coming back.
Yeah, it felt like a season finale. That's for sure. So I looked up to that one.
Okay, it's part of my 20 questions. All right. 20 questions. This is going to be a new... instead of I got some questions, it's 20 questions.
All right, hit me.
So we're starting the segment. I got some questions. Question one. How are we feeling in general about this whole episode?
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
It was very fast. Like, it probably definitely could have been, like, a couple of episodes long.
I mean, if this was anime, it would be a whole fucking season.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. For better or worse, I think it definitely could have been, brought out a little. I get where they're coming from. I did also hear or see that it's pretty much this fast in the comics, too.
It is one issue.
Yeah.
It's so. Arguably, like, an issue, I feel like it's like a 30-minute episode.
Yeah.
Technically, it doubled its time, if you think about it in that respect.
That'd be my only complaint, really.
I'm going to go to... I'm going to skip one question and go to this one. Is the pacing of this episode to the benefit or the detriment to this episode?
I mean, it does add to, like, the chaos, I guess, because it's hard to, like, everything is happening so fast. People are dying, craziness. And, I mean, that's kind of how fast it's really going down, just a couple of days, you know. So it does kind of add to that, like, feeling of how fast all of this just comes out of nowhere and happens. It does add to that effect.
I will say this, because this isn't my favorite. I know I've been talking about this arc for a while. This is one of those arcs that I always wanted to see this. Powerplex 2. I wanted to see this arc on the big screen and how they would handle it. I think they definitely could have handled it in, like, multiple episodes. I kind of thought maybe they would. Maybe they would not do what they did in the comic. There was a reason why they did it so quickly, and you alluded to that already. Like, it's supposed to be quick, it's supposed to be chaotic, it's supposed to be just really a lot, really, really fast. And I will say this, when I first read this issue in the comic, it's so whiplashy, because so much shit fucking happens in one issue in a comic. This show, it happens in one episode. So much happens, so much changes, the whole world is shooken up. And it feels like there should have been so much more. But the thing I want to stress here, knowing how the story goes, this isn't the issue. This isn't the episode or the issue or the arc to focus on. This is more or less a story in the many of stories. This is one fight in many of fights. And I kind of want to bring this up later, but I'll bring it up now and reiterate it. Invincible almost has like three phases, or three shifts. I'll call it this: three shifts that make you go, "Oh fuck, this show is awesome." Two specifically, the third one's debatable of where it's at. The first shift, I think, is obvious: Omni-Man's turn. In the comic, it happened in issue 7. I have a 8 graded of that same issue. They weren't going to do it that early, but had to more or less keep the comic going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like they did it in episode 1 for that same reason. The second shift, the second time you're like, oh fuck, we are ready. Like this, like after this moment everything gets fucking intense. And it's not Invincible War. It is Conquest. I can't say that everything changes once Conquest comes, but like the focus happens once Conquest comes. Because that's essentially the Vulturemites are here.
Yep.
And baby, yeah, it's just
start taking things seriously now.
It is it's like season four is it's Vulturemites. Season four is we go to war with the Vulturemites. And that's exciting. The third one I won't talk about because it's way down and we can debate of like where that third shift is, but I think there's like one moment where I'm like, ooh, yeah, this particular turn, this shift is monumental for the end game of the series. So with that, all that being said, I'm going to answer this question. Is the pacing to the benefit and detriment to the episode or series? I think it's a detriment to the episode because this could have been at least two episodes show-wise. This could have been drawn out and been done amazingly. One Piece, like, they could have drawn this episode out for almost the entire season, and it would have been fucking worth it. But I think it's to the benefit of the series that this is one episode. Because the point isn't this battle. The point is the chaos. The point is just the slugfest of this happens, then Conquest happens. And that's what happened in the comics. Invincible, Conquest, literally back-to-back. Think Thriller Bark with Kuma and Ors, like, well, I don't know why it's the hat. I'm making a lot of One Piece references. Yeah. We talked about One Piece before this. But yeah, it's that's more or less like how I feel. I think it's a benefit long-term, but a detriment this episode because it really could have been drawn out. Is this what you expected from the episode? I think you kind of answered that already.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of had like an epiphany when I was driving with Brad to go pick up a car yesterday. It's like, okay, that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's original episode or question two.
Okay.
Can we go on without Rexplode?
It's going to be tough.
It really is.
Yeah,
he was. I will say this, comic-wise, yeah, he wasn't this cool. Like, he was cool. This moment made him cooler.
Yeah. But he went out a legend.
He really did. And he will not be forgotten. And you will understand a couple things. Hopefully, episode 8. Okay. Hoping episode 8. Otherwise, we have to wait a whole fucking year and I don't know if I want to do that. I might just tell you. Off air.
Okay.
It's not that big of a thing, but you'll understand some moments that we've had together.
Okay. All right.
A revelation to be revealed later. How are we feeling about how quickly all these heroes fell? In a matter of 3 days, everything was destroyed.
It just goes to show the difference in strengths between what the world has to offer and the Vulturemites. I mean, Mark even, just being a Vulturemite himself. So what happens when the real Vulturemites show too. Up? Yeah.
Compared to all of those are like arguably weaker than Mark or a decent number of them.
Yep. And I mean, it just goes to show how much Omni-Man really messed the world up by killing the Guardians. The original Guardians, because maybe I guess they didn't really stand a chance against him, I guess, but
maybe one of them.
Yeah, and even then, I think the fact that they were so caught off guard by that situation definitely aided him quite a bit in his mission. Mm-hmm. And he almost died too. I mean, he was in the hospital for a long time afterwards.
Yeah. So, but that was the best heroes. Yeah. In a close quarter. Yeah, it's. I forget, like, how much they just get their ass beat. Because so here's the thing. If the Invincibles wanted to continue, I don't know if they save the world. No. I think they win and destroy the planet.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think Mark can beat them all fast enough before they destroy everything.
And, like, they practically destroyed most of the cities. They leveled most of the cities. It was Invincibles' own selfishness, kind of, I guess. Yes, you know, the collective selfishness that ended the war, not Invincible, our hero.
Right, yeah.
Cecil and Mark, on good graces now?
I don't know if they're necessarily on good terms, but I think maybe they, maybe Mark will understand the, obviously he does, the necessity of somebody like Cecil. Mm-hmm. And he brought Eve to her, to him, you know. He went to, what's his name? I can't think of it in a second. His assistant, Donald. He went to see Donald to get information and stuff from him. Just goes to show that he does need them still. And obviously, Cecil needs him. So
I'm going to say they're on good graces. Maybe not like completely where they were. More or less, they have an understanding. Like at the end of the day, and I think Cecil said it, like, we're on the same side.
Yep.
At the end of the day, we're fighting on the same side. We agree, we disagree, but like we're on the same side. And I think Mark sees that. Mm. And I think there's like that moment. Is Powerplex right about Invincible? I know we asked this last episode, but I think we have to ask now.
Again, I don't know. It's that age old question, because it does come back to like, had he killed Angstrom Levy to begin with, actually, which he thought he did, then he never would have came back and done all this. If no one else is able to bring other Invincibles from other dimensions into their dimension.
This question I have way down below, but I need to bring it up here.
Okay.
Did Mark make a mistake at all during any of this?
I mean, he definitely should have been out there the whole time.
That was my one thing. Yeah. That I'm like, Mark should have been taking responsibility.
Even if he's not like responsible for what they're doing, he's still like as a hero.
He's responsible.
With great power. Yep. And I mean, just thinking about the amount of lives that he could have probably saved in the time that he spent.
And heroes too.
Yeah, and heroes, yeah.
He took the choice to selfishly protect Eve and be by Eve. And he was like, there's other heroes that can do this. It's like, dude, no, this is all you. Like, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility.
Yep.
And like, even if it wasn't your villain, let's say this is like an immortal villain who's doing all this damage, it's still your responsibility.
Yep.
And I think up to that point, I'm like, I don't see any mistake at all, like, from Mark. But I'm like, that was his mistake. He selfishly let other people die so that his love wouldn't die. And like, I think there's an argument that like he made an arguably the right choice, because like, if they really wanted to go after Mark, they would kill Eve. And he did make a point, like, they will come for her. I have to stay here. And I'm like, I get it. I really do. But there is the other argument of like, no, dude, the world needs you, not just Adam Eve. You can't just stay in one spot. You have to go out. And I'm curious if that's going to be addressed at all. Probably, maybe not, at least not initially. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be addressed. Like, if they didn't address it already, I don't think they are going to address it. Okay. What does Ray do now?
I mean,
and I ask this question because I generally don't know.
I mean, probably the smart choice is just to continue to retire and try to make a life for herself, right?
Or does she come back?
Yeah. But, I mean, she already said exactly what was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, like, we're talking about, I feel like there's definitely a difference between, like, somebody like Ray and somebody like Invincible.
It's true.
Responsibility. There's a much greater power there than there.
That's true. It's hard, because I'm like, I can see her coming back. I can see her doing it in like Rex's honor and becoming a guardian of the globe again. But I'm curious what happens. I'm curious, like, I'm assuming that episode 8 will kind of show us a little bit of what she's doing, if we have time for it. I don't know if we will. Maybe like a snapshot of like them going to a funeral. Maybe it's a season 4 question. We'll see. What does the world do?
Power and fear.
Because like,
all they can do.
Holy shit. Like, can you just imagine out of nowhere a bunch of like versions of your hero just start killing everybody, like, how do you even like react to that? Because that can like that happened out of nowhere with no warning.
Yep. I don't know.
Like,
I don't know how you would react to that. Like I said, bunker down and
not
I guess
trying to
try
get,
to rebuild. Yeah, and hope that doesn't happen again.
Like not trying to get into like too much of the world of the politics, but like right now, like in this like where the state of things are, my mental health is shit. Like just straight up, like there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear of like the greater world, and for some people like me and you, like we kind of like we can see where things are going, and it's scary. But like to be in a world where like that much damage happens within 3 days and there is no ability to predict when that happens again
or protect yourself from it,
it's like holy, like that would suck. That would suck a lot.
Yep.
Like I don't, how do you deal with that? I could barely deal with our current circumstance.
Yep.
I don't know if I could deal with that.
Yeah. Chaos.
What does Teen Team do?
Well, probably rejoin the Guardians of the Globe because now they they have to.
I think it's, yeah. It's, I think that's more or less the only thing you can do at this point. Like, okay, we are woefully unprepared for like 18 marks who aren't that strong. How are we going to deal with an empire who has their eyes on this planet?
Right.
And we'll see. Because
they need all hands on deck. Like he said, like Cecil said, it's a all hands on deck situation.
Mm-hmm. All right, this one's for you. Because I know you're a fan of this character. How much more would you have enjoyed this episode if Spawn was a part of it?
If Spawn?
Mm-hmm.
Like...
And Savage Todd, Dragon.
Like Spawn from Todd McFarlane's comics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have been a little confused why he was there. I guess this is Image, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Invincible, yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me that this was a crossover episode or a crossover issue with Spawn?
Yeah. Spawn was in this episode. Or Spawn was in this issue.
Spawn, they jammed Spawn into this
and Savage
issue.
Dragon. And Savage Dragon. I think there was like one other that like I wasn't aware of. But no Savage Dragon. No Spawn. There was not Tech Knight. Was it Metal Jacket? There was another like Image hero from way back in the day that made an appearance. Brit. He was in it.
Wow. That's
but
wild.
Yeah, Spawn was in it. And I was like, ooh, you know how cool it would be just if Spawn was just randomly fighting Invincible?
What were their role? It just showed him around the world, like, fighting Invincibles? Or
I think it was just like, yeah, he was just fighting Invincible in one of the, like, him and Savage Dragon were fighting Invincible in, like, one of the panels. Like, that was it. That was a crossover.
Damn.
But I'm just saying, like, just.
That's wild.
Just, like, wouldn't that be cool to see that?
Yeah. That would have some crazy implications, though.
Just saying, just missed opportunity.
Yeah. So does that mean that Spawn is in the same world as Invincible? Just
technically,
canonly, huh?
Image world.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if like the show technically. I'm gonna say no, but I mean, Invincible and Spider-Man also had a comic together.
Yeah.
Just saying, like Invincible was in a Marvel comic.
Hmm.
It makes sense. Robert Kirkman was a Marvel guy. He wrote Marvel Zombies.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I think I knew that.
It does.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
Did you laugh at the Shape Smith joke that Shape Smith didn't tell, but you heard it from the Mark perspective? Because I did.
I mean, I was imagining, yeah. It was pretty brutal, though. Him, like, laughing about
it
ripping
was,
him in half.
I don't know why, but I thought the joke was, like, I didn't laugh, but I was like, okay, that's kind of fucking hilarious. Like, if he's dead, like, that's a brutal but also kind of a hilarious way to figure out that he's dead. He's not dead. He's fine.
Yeah, he's not dead, so it's funny.
But it's like, oh, don't unlive me or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just imagine Steven Yeun doing his best Ben Schwartz impression.
Yep.
But, oh my God, Shave Smith. Ben Schwartz... Yep. Bravo to him.
Yep.
What was your favorite alternate Mark?
I mean, Mark with a mustache.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. He did not last long, though.
Yeah, who was he fighting?
I believe that was Metal Jacket from in space, right?
Yeah, the space fight. So that was one of those other characters. Okay.
Yeah, I think Metal Jacket is like one of those eventually they have a storyline later and will be part of like the major conflict, but is kind of an alternative. Like, he has his own comic.
Okay. Okay. So interesting.
I'm trying to think of like which. I like the Fauxhawk.
Yeah. Mark. The one that's the prison.
Yeah, and like the one who, I'm not sure if he was the one in the Guardians, but like he was like one of the ones who were just more grotesque.
Oh yeah, like literally he was almost burned or something.
No. Grotesque in like his behavior, not so much.
Okay.
I think the grotesque one is wearing like a more of a white suit.
Yeah. Okay. The one in the gold suit too, because he said he killed his dad. I think. Which is pretty crazy.
I didn't get enough of him to be like, yes. Him.
Yeah. Just that one line. It's like, okay. I mean, that means something.
Favorite costume?
There was a lot of costumes. Mm-hmm. I did like the Mohawk guy, like you said. There was also just one that was wearing, like, Omni-Man's outfit, I think.
I did like that, too.
There was one with the, like, hooded thing in front and the goggles. I feel like that looked a lot like another character that I feel like it might be an Image character. But I can't remember who it is.
I don't know either.
That kind of hood thing.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. I don't know. They were all kind of cool. I mean, they had, like, some that were more reminiscent of his original costume.
I like the Viltrumite like logo on the side of his one of his costumes. I thought that was like a cool like mix crossover. I really like the gold and black with the cape. That was my favorite. I'm like, that's a sick costume.
I did like the cape, yeah.
Like, my favorite costume will always be the original. Like, I think that's peak Invincible. Like, you can't beat that, but man, if they went like gold and black, kind of like Black Adam, like it's a solid look.
Yeah, it's classic.
I will say the black and blue costume is growing on me.
Yeah.
Like, I am enjoying seeing it live action.
I'm getting more used to it now. It's not,
Are we impressed with Mark?
I mean, in some ways, I mean, he didn't die. So that's impressive.
I was just very impressed with him this episode. I think, like, he very much, this episode, as we talked about it, just shows him stepping up, just shows how much better he's gotten. And this was, like, the episode to prove that. This is, again, like One Piece, during, like, Fishman Island, where, like, there was one little section of when they were on that island that they all got to show off their new skills. Like, I feel like this was kind of like that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. All right. We were wrong. I have three questions left. We were wrong. Jonathan Banks is not Conquest like I thought.
Yeah, I was really good. Once I heard his voice, I was like, he's not Conquest.
He is Brit.
Yeah, okay. So that's who that guy was.
He's Brit. Not a huge player. Not a lot of scenes. I think it's... Yeah, I'm like, okay. Yeah.
As soon as I heard his voice, Brit's... I was like, that's him. And I was like, he's not Conquest.
Brit might have more to do later, I believe. I believe he's not like a huge comic book character. Forgive me if I'm wrong later on. But yeah, I'm like, I enjoyed Jonathan Banks. I enjoyed hearing him. I think he had like a really good... I think he had like one moment where he was kind of like monologuing what happened. And I was like, this is cool to hear Jonathan Banks.
He's got a good unique voice.
He does.
Draw.
Did you recognize who Conquest was voiced by?
I feel like it, I was listening to it, it like triggered me, but I can't right
you
now.
You don't know?
Yeah, who was it?
You're gonna be upset with yourself.
I'm pretty sure I could tell last night, but I can't remember who it was.
I'm just gonna give you three shows.
Okay.
Perfect. Supernatural, Walking Dead, The Boys.
Oh, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
It's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah,
I thought he was playing Throg, which I thought was interesting because I'm like, I think he's great enough to be Throg. But But I'm like, Conquest made more sense. And look, he's playing Conquest, which I think is dope for one reason. Steven Yeun.
I see where you're going with this.
Yep. Steven Yeun plays Invincible, played Glenn in The Walking Dead, which is a Robert Kirkman show. And Glenn died via, I guess, Walking Dead spoilers.
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Negan kills Glenn. Negan played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. They're back on screen, baby. They're Conquest and Invincible fighting together, or fighting against each other. How are we feeling about Conquest and his arrival in the worst time fucking ever?
Yeah.
Excuse my French.
Perfect. Yeah, I think it's kind of perfect. You know, because it's like, why? It's not like he cares. They're going to show up when they show up. Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't show up in the middle of all of it.
Yeah, he should be considered very lucky he didn't show up in the middle of it. Because he probably just would have, like, put all the other Invincibles under him. And then just...
Under him or just kill him?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, that could bolster your... That's like 18 more Viltrumites to add to your ranks.
That's true.
As long as they're strong enough, that's like...
I don't think they would follow him, like, though.
50%. They might, yeah, I guess.
And up some until, of them would probably know who Conquest is.
Yeah.
So, but, I don't know. It was... I'm excited for it. Like I said before in this podcast, Conquest, when we meet him, starts a whole new shift in at least the comic book. And everything after that is just, it's intense. We're in for a treat. We have one episode left of season three.
Yep.
I guess I'm going to add another question. How are we feeling about Episode 8?
I mean, I'm hyped now. If they got to follow that up, it's got to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, they fighting.
So, yeah,
they fighting.
Ratings, a whole episode time. Worth of fighting. That's what I want.
Let's do episode titles. We have one left.
Yep.
I thought you would never shut up. I fucking love it because it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan playing Conquest. And I'll tell you this, Conquest talks some shit.
Okay.
Like, that's where when I heard the Jonathan Banks rumors, I was just like, I can't see him talking shit. Okay. And Conquest talks a lot of mad fucking shit. Like, and it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Perfect. I am excited for it. Ratings. We already talked about how the pacing may be a detriment. What is your rating for this episode?
I mean, I still got to give it a 4+.
Four plus. I gave it a 4.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's great. I'm not going to argue that it's not great, but I don't think I can say it's elite because I do question if this was the best decision for this story. I understand why they do it. I understand like why Kirkman wrote it this way, and I understand that it's for the series itself. It makes sense, but man, this is one of those conflicts that I'm like, I really just want to see more. There's a lot of moments that I'm like, this would just be elite if you draw it out.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're at. I'm like, this is just, I don't think we should have done it. This should have been a longer episode. This should have been a longer comic book issue. And like, I think the point was never for this to be the focus. The Conquest is the focus. So I'm going to say 4. It could have been a lot better. But this is about the season as a whole, the show as a whole, not just this particular issue.
That's what I'm thinking.
But yeah, Angstrom Levy, man. This is why season 2 I was excited about him. Because this is like, he just comes back and wrecks it like shit for Mark. And it's just a really unique villain.
Yep. Like, I can't get to him like when he's gone. He's just completely gone. There's nothing you can do about it.
You know who his comparison is? Like to any other like villain or character?
Like there's Mr. Mixoplex?
Yeah.
Fiddlelick? Or kind of. Say his name.
Less revengeful. Less,
yeah, yeah.
Mr. Mixoplex. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The tables have turned. Yeah. I can say it. You cannot.
Yeah.
You used to correct me.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think this is just Invincible versus Rick.
Yeah.
Like Rick and Morty.
And a more direct,
the Green Portals are, you know, kind of the low-hanging fruits here for the comparison. But, it's just, think of someone who knows everything from multiple different dimensions trying to, you know, basically fuck up your life. Like, that would be Rick Sanchez.
Yeah, I could see that.
Rick Sanchez would be a lot more effective with it.
Yeah.
Or he just wouldn't really give two fucks unless you really irritate him. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah, if he was going to do it, he would overdo it. Yeah, that he's would such, mean that, yeah.
He's just such an interesting villain. And yeah. I think he's so different from anything we've seen before. Rick Sanchez, yes, there's that comparison, but this technically this show in the Green Portal came out before Rick and Morty did.
Yeah. Well, Rick and Morty did not invent Green Portals.
That too. Yeah. All right. Most valuable character. I do not have 10 on here, Brandon. I have 7, but really, I don't know if I can really consider anyone other than one person with an honorable mention. But I want to go through our list so far. Episode 1 through 3, we decided on Mark. Episode 4, Alan the Alien. Episode 5 and 6, we both name Adam Eve. Episode 7, I'll just give you my list and where we'll work our way up. 7, I have Adam Eve. 6, I have Bulletproof for a moment. 5 is Powerplex. Deserves recognition. 4 is Cecil. 3 is Oliver. And 2, my honorable mention is Rexplode.
Yep.
I think Mark is the only one here. He's literally the only reason why. Like, he's the reason why it happened, technically. But he had some fucking NPC moments.
Yep.
He does have one flaw.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anyone else that comes close, except maybe Oliver. Oliver has the right mentality, does not have the strength.
Yep. It was nice to see Oliver, you know, trending towards that good side, you know. So
that Omni-Man side of things?
Is okay.
It's very Omni-Man-like. Like, hey, just kill him. He's bad.
Yeah. Yeah,
his dad probably would have killed him, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I guarantee that. Especially if he did all that.
No, for real. All right, the fun part: most valuable villain, the MVV. I don't think I ever said it out loud.
We had different names for or different names for 4. The different Invincibles.
I just have Invincibles.
Okay.
All right, going through the list, 1 through 3, Cecil was the first one. If we wanted to separate it, those three, I think we could put, like, Doc Seismic, I think, definitely deserves episode 1. I think I want to split that up because I think Doc Seismic definitely deserves his moment.
Yeah.
Number 4 is Immortal. Number 5, Titan. Number 6, Powerplex. Number 7, I have Conquest at 4, Powerplex at 3. I think there's an argument between Invincibles or Angstrom Levy, but I think I have to put Angstrom Levy here.
Yeah, I mean, the Invincibles wouldn't have been there without them. I don't know if you could really consider Conquest on this episode, but I'll let you have it.
He's number 4. Like, he had a cool moment.
Yeah.
Like, he's the most dangerous person on this list.
Yeah, but it wasn't his episode by any means.
No, we'll wait. I was going to say tomorrow. Yeah. We'll wait. I really wish it was tomorrow. Yeah. I don't want to wait a whole week. We'll wait next week. We already know who's winning it next week.
Yep. I hope so. I'd be very disappointed if somebody ends up outdoing him somehow.
We're supposed to get Throg.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if we will get Throg. I just heard rumors that we're getting Throg. I don't know who would voice him. I'm curious to know who would be. I think, like, if he had a cameo appearance, which is all I would be expecting. I don't know. We'll see. I already have an idea who's going to be MVC.
Okay.
We'll see. I mean, it seems like it's going to go very close to the comics, and all I'm going to say is you're not ready for it.
You've been saying that this whole season.
I know, and we're not ready for it. Like, I'm just saying, like, that last episode, we weren't ready for it. I mean, I'm mentally preparing you, but this is Conquest is Conquest. He is the beginning. Maybe he's the end. But I will tell you this. Conquest is the end of this episode. Goodbye. Bye, Brandon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This is your host, Jake, signing off.